The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gifted and Talented Education Rejects podcast. I'm David Sears with my very talented friend and host, co-host, Liz Greenwald. Gifted and Talented Education Rejects is a podcast for the brilliant misfits, burned out brainiacs, and neurospicy overachievers who never quite fit the mold or did until they decided the mold was pointless. We qualified, but we weren't in the program. Now we're taking the mic. Liz, welcome to the podcast. How are we doing today?
We're doing fantastic. How are you doing?
Doing well. I've had a busy day. Work is weird. We're not busy in the mornings, but then the after school crowd comes in and we are slammed. We're absolutely ridiculously slammed. So it's quite busy. But I was able to get that. Then I was able to get a nice workout in this afternoon. So, that was very nice. Is that the Mandalorian background behind you?
I don't know. I just picked something.
It looks like a spaceship. It kind of looks like the Mandalorian. All right.
So. I'm feeling a little bloated today, so I put a background on, to distract.
It's all good. All right. So let's open up with a warm-up question. What's the most ridiculous thing you believed as a kid?
Oh, boy. Don't judge me. Not allowed to judge me on this one. I didn't always connect things as well as people should. So there were two instances of this. The first one is when my mom said that a tow truck was coming, and I was expecting a truck to show up that had like a big foot on it. I was very disappointed. And then the second one was, you know, when we lived in Kissimmee, we had all sorts of, you know, issues with the drain field.
Yep.
And there was this crotty septic service that would come out. And the way my grandmother was saying it, she kept saying that the karate truck was coming. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, my gosh, am I getting a new Boken? Am I getting sparring equipment? This is great. And then it's like the septic trunk comes up and I see it's C-R-O-T-T-Y, not K-A-R-A-T-E. And I was very disappointed. What about you?
Let's see. I for the longest time called it Puglix because
I can see that.
Because I thought it was a G there. And I called it P-Man. I always thought it was P-Man in the Masters of the Universe. So, cause you know, he always looks like he's half naked most of the time. So he's ready to go pee anytime he needs, just whip it out. So, listen, one of the craziest things I did as a kid, Operation Truth, my sister and I were convinced to find out if Santa was real. So we kept like, my parents knew exactly what was going on because we were asking to borrow a video camera. What do you want to borrow a video camera for? Oh, no reason. Apparently they found my journal with the plot to it. So
well, this is like Lemony Snicket type stuff.
Yeah. We were going to hide behind the sofa in the den, stay up all night with a video camera to catch Santa. And, I think we fell asleep within an hour and then our parents carried us to bed and we were never sure. Melinda to this day is still mad that my parents lied to us about Santa, saying that he was real. She is still mad to this day. She's like, how could you lie to us? How could you tell us that he's real? He's not real. So I always wanted to believe. I always wanted to believe there was magic in the world. I grew up at Disney. So, you know, sometimes you see stuff that you're like, oh, it is magic, you know? And it broke my heart when I found out Santa wasn't real. But, you know, I still have sense of whimsy and wonder. And hopefully something crazy and magical will happen one day, you know?
Exactly. I know. This was one bonus one. Jennifer Esposito and I came across, I don't know how we brought the dictionary home from second grade, because we weren't supposed to bring the dictionaries home, but we did. And then we're like smuggling it back into class, but we got to V and we saw a vampire and we both froze and we're both just like, oh my gosh, because it was like a picture of Bela Lugosi as Dracula. And we're like, is it real? And we just kind of looked at each other and I was like, wait, if we take it in the bathroom and we look at it in the mirror and we see a reflection, then the vampire isn't real. But if we don't see a reflection, it's a real vampire. So we go to the hallway bathroom and we got to Reedy Creek after we got off the bus. And we opened it up and we sat it in front of the mirror. We both saw the reflection. We just kind of nodded at each other, closed it up, and snuck it back.
There you go.
Like nothing happened.
early scientific experiment by Liz DeMoisey.
Yes.
What was it? Fifth grade, you and I were science fair partners, and we were trying to build CO2 engines in a swimming pool?
Yes, because I had done the CO2 experiment and won the science fair in fourth grade. And I basically made a little CO2 explosion. We had a wine cork that like came ricocheting out of a bottle because it built up enough pressure with vinegar and baking soda. And so the next year, David and I ended up doing it, but we were making little boats out of bottles and straws and the vinegar and the baking soda and coffee filters. And we were seeing, you know, how much of the ratio we needed to get like X.
How far it would go in the pool.
Distance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember we borrowed, y'all came to our house and we went to our neighbors who had a pool, the Rileys. And we used the Riley's pool for our experiment. And it was an overcast Florida day. It was one of those winter Florida days when it was high. It's in the 60s. So we couldn't get in the pool. And we kept wanting to get in the pool. And our parents were like, it's too cold. You will get too cold. So I remember my dad really had to talk me out of it. And your mom had to talk you out of it. Mary Lou was really, really like, Liz, you can't get in there. It's too cold.
Yeah, because, so, you know, back home, it's like I would just jump right in. But we also had a heater.
Didn't you have an indoor pool? Like it was screened in?
It was screened in. We had the pool cage. It's funny, when my husband came to visit, because he's from California, and this was actually the house in Orlando, because we had a screen on that one too. He had never seen a pool cage before. And so he's just kind of looking out the back. And he's like, do you have a greenhouse? What is that? And I was like, oh, no, that's a pool screen. He's like, what's a pool screen? And I'm like, that keeps, like, you know, leaves and bugs and snakes and crap from getting into the pool.
Alligators in Florida.
Yeah, well, if you got a dog door, that's not really going to stop them.
True, true. But I remember we were doing that, and we were doing our best to get the ratio right. And then we figured out that we needed a bigger straw because the straws, we were too thin and we're not getting enough propulsion out of it. And, it was fun experiment. It was fun doing science in Florida in January when it's cold in Florida, when it's like 60s or the high, lows are in the 40s.
Yes.
It's where you can wear, and then February it gets to the 70s and the highs. So you'd wear shorts with a sweatshirt. I wore shorts with a sweatshirt to school. And then by the afternoon I take the sweatshirt off, which started my love affair with wearing shorts year round. I did that in sixth and seventh grade. I still, even when it's like in the 20s and teens here, I will wear shorts and go outside. Just wear, it's like, as long as I got the upper body covered, I'm good, man. Especially going to the gym. I will definitely just wear shorts and a sweatshirt with a beanie and I'll be good to go. So last week we talked about our getting to know us. We met in the third grade, Kissimmee, Florida. We've been friends since. We've stayed in touch over the years. And we both were candidates for the gifted program, but my mom thought I was actually too smart. She didn't like the curriculum, and she thought she could do a better job of teaching me the curriculum, her own curriculum, that would be more advanced in the gifted program. But we'd still let me do the gifted field trips and stuff. But for the most part, she's like, I think you're better than she, because she was talking, she listened to the first episode, and she was like, you weren't a reject. I just withheld you because I thought we could do a better curriculum at home than what they were doing there at Reedy Creek, which I was like, yeah, but it's a joke. It's just fun. We're not actual rejects. We're just people that.
Actually, our parents rejected it.
Yeah, our parents rejected it. Our parents are the rejects.
My mom was the reason why. Actually, it was my mom and my grandma. They were the reasons why I didn't do the program. And I qualified. But they were afraid that I was going to either like burn down the school. not literally. Although that would have been great.
would have been hard to burn down Reedy Creek.
I know. It would have been such an accomplishment. It was earth sheltered. But they were more or less afraid that I was going to get an attitude problem and think I was too smart for everyone.
You could. I could see that. But so we had fun with that. Remember Mr. Tufel, the technology teacher? We had fun with that.
Yes.
I remember, was it fourth grade or fifth grade? Someone stole the quartz from the technology lab because we were all talking about X-Men, and Cyclops had the quartz visor that he'd turn on and off, that he would pull on and off that would allow him to shoot his optic blasts out. And someone stole it to try to create that. And it was never found. No one ever confessed to it, but we knew exactly why. We knew exactly why they did it.
Yeah, we figured it out, but that, if that was me, I would gladly own it. But it wasn't.
That was so much fun. And I mean, we had to take tests, and like, you would go to a classroom/lab and you would do it. Now, what's the pink drink that you were talking about?
Okay. So one of the things that I ended up doing a lot of was hearing tests, because whenever they would put the weird headphones on you and you had to point this side and tell them what side you were hearing the tones on, I was always hearing the tone like nanoseconds before the tone came through. Like, I could pick up the electricity like going through the cables, and I was like, it's going to come on this side. And apparently there was like a fluoride that they wanted us all to swish with, but because I'm very picky about stuff and what I will eat, what I won't eat, what I will drink, what I won't drink. I'm better now as an adult, but I'm still picky. But back then, I was god-awful. I wasn't going to put that stuff in my mouth. I was like, no, I don't want this. But apparently it was like a strong fluoride that they liked the gifted kids to swish with. And it used to happen after they would send me off to Boggy Creek, because Boggy Creek had a dedicated auditory lab with their gifted program. And twice a year I would get sent over there and they would have me do the test. And they kept telling my grandmother that I was having hearing problems, but like I was picking up on electricity, like I could hear electricity coming off of certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they were trying to say that I was having hearing problems. And I'm like, yeah, trust me, it's not a hearing problem. It's more or less a too sensitive type thing.
Well, I could get that, because especially you always had really good hearing, and because you always had sensitive hearing, is you were really sensitive to loud noises. Like in the cafeteria, you kind of would get a little freaked out there because it just echoed so loudly. Even though they'd say we'd get warnings for talking loudly and have to have silent lunch, but it would get so loud in that cafeteria. It was just absolutely nuts. And I remember that. It's just,
I would just get overstimulated.
What? The neurospicy kid gets overstimulated? How much acetaminophen did you take as a kid?
Oh, I took none of it, but my mom did. Actually, I think I took Tylenol a few times as a kid, but that was because I would get bored in class and I would say I had a headache or something. And they would just send me to Mrs. Rinkus, and Mrs. Rinkus, I don't know, nothing wrong with you. Have a Tylenol. Go lay down. Okay.
I remember we had a hot nurse one year, and I kept getting sick, and all the boys kept getting sick to go see the nurse. And like, we would say we were sick.
I remember.
Yeah.
yeah, because wasn't it like Mrs. Rinkus, her daughter, who was a kindergarten teacher and got married, had a baby, and she went to go help with the baby, and then we had a hot nurse who took over. This was like fourth grade year, I think it was.
Yeah. Hot nurse.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was it, because everybody was like quoting Animaniacs and going, hello, nurse.
Yes. So that was, oh, it was so much fun. It was so silly. Absolutely loved it. It was, I mean, and I think the teachers caught on that all the boys had a crush on the nurse.
Oh, yeah. They had to. So they really had to.
It got nuts. but it was a lot of fun. We really enjoyed the time there and just enjoying the insanity. I mean, we had fun. Remember the Key West trip, fifth grade, where I get attacked by a Portuguese man of war from the neck down to my waist. My mom was one of the field trip
camp.
Yes. One of my mom was one of the chaperones, and right as I was getting back to the boat, I got wrapped up in the Portuguese man of war.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom said she thought it was, she just think of Jaws where the son was getting eaten by the shark and the mom just watched it and she was panicked. And she's like, you got to pull yourself up. And I get in there and I've just got all these welts covering me. And had I not had my morning Benadryl, cause I was a nerd who always had bad allergies, even though we were at the beach, I took my Benadryl. And it ended up being not as bad as it could have been. I still was just absolutely worn out from it and ended up, I think, sleeping the rest of the trip.
Yep.
Like, we went to the beach and they kept the AC on the bus, and I just slept in the back row of the bus while everybody else went to the beach. And then
we went to Bahia Honda. It was gorgeous.
And then when we were driving back from the Keys on the bus up to Reedy Creek, I just kept sleeping. I was just so worn out from that attack, because what they don't tell you is the venom actually stays in your body. And they said, if I get stung by another Portuguese man of war, there's a good chance I could die, even though I'm 43, about to be 43.
Yeah.
So it is crazy what that thing does. And I still have, like, anytime I get stung by a bee or bit by an ant, I have a really bad reaction. So I still have bad reactions to that. And it was nuts, but I enjoyed my time at sea camp until then. And I have hated the beach and the ocean ever since. To me, going to the beach or the ocean is hell. So,
you know, I was traumatized because the summer before that was when I went to Camp SeaWorld, and I did a sleepover where they had a Jaws movie marathon. And so I was afraid to go into the swimming pool that year, because every time I closed my eyes in our 5-foot swimming pool, I was seeing Jaws coming at me. And so I was very trepidatious getting into the water. So then you're over there screaming because the Portuguese man of war is attacking you. And this was like our first really big snorkel trip that we did.
This is because we'd been training in the shallows,
yes,
and they had taken us out, and we were about a good mile away from sea camp. Because I remember they had to call out the emergency speedboat, and they got me on there, and we flew through the water, and they coasted into the dock, ran me in the shower, and just got the water as hot as I could stand it to try to pull all the venom out. And I just stayed in the shower for about a good 15 minutes as it pulled all the venom out of me. And then they gave me something to help with the swelling. And they said if I had started to go into shock, they were going to have to airlift me to Miami, which that would have been fun. So
that would have been
a shit show.
Yeah. But yeah, so you're over there screaming, and then Justin saw a lobster, like a big spiny lobster, and he's all screaming. So I'm seeing these two boys scream. So the only thing I can think of is there's a shark. So I start screaming.
It was chaos.
And then, yeah, it was chaos. Well, speaking of chaos, what five things have you learned that if you could, you would go back and you would tell your younger self?
Number one, I would say give more effort. I coasted a lot when it came to school. Cause everything just came so naturally to me that I barely had to try and I'd get an A, you know, but I think I developed bad study habits that kind of got a wake up call when I got to college. Are we talking like kindergarten younger self or just like younger self?
It could be even 20 years old.
Okay. I tell my college self to focus more on friendships. I think I only made one true friend out of college that's not my wife, you know? And that's the only person I really keep up with out of college. I have a couple I'll speak to occasionally, but like there's one I talk to every day. Her name's Michaela, and I performed her wedding when she and her husband Ben got married. I was the minister when they got married. And it was, I don't think I cultivated enough friendships, but I will say this, that it is a deeper friendship I have with the people that are my friends right now. I think like with you, Paul, Dawn, Michaela, Gabe, I think I've got close friendships with the five of y'all.
Yeah.
And of course, Lila.
Keep your circle tight.
So I have a tight circle. Another thing I would tell my younger self would be enjoy what you're doing. Cause I think sometimes I get so, focused on the tasks at hand that I really wouldn't enjoy the people I was hanging out with or just spending time with people that really meant a lot to me. Cause I mean, you and I were both close with our grandparents.
Yes.
And I would tell my younger self to appreciate the time you have with them, you know, because my grandfather's death, my granddaddy Sears' death, 24th anniversary was this past Saturday, the 20th. And then my grandmother Woodby's death anniversary, it'll be 13 years since she passed. It'll be on October 28th. And then it's just, I spent time with them and I have great memories with them, but I wish I would have done more. You know, you always wish you would have done more. Let's see. That's three. Number four, enjoy the relationships. I think I was always, and I wasn't emotionally mature enough for the relationships I was in college until Lila.
That's fair.
And I think at one point I was looking forward to the next one instead of enjoying the relationship I was in. And
that's a guy thing.
Luckily one of my exes And I still talk occasionally. She's really nice. I've met her kids, and I went to her grandmother's funeral, and we're still friends. We talk, like I said, occasionally, and she's an amazing woman, amazing mom and wife to her husband. And there are some things I wish I would have done to treat her better, you know?
Right.
Part of that's immaturity, and you got to learn. But I think the mistakes I made with her helped me become a better boyfriend, fiance, and husband to Lila, which, so I learned from my mistakes, which is important. You have to learn from your mistakes. And I think that'd be the biggest thing I'd say is learn from your mistakes. Don't waste a failure. That'd be the fifth thing I'd tell my younger self. You're going to mess up. Learn from your mistakes.
I agree.
Don't keep repeating the same mistakes. You know, I think sometimes people, myself especially, would keep making the same mistake and wonder why it wasn't getting better, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know that if I get a pint of Ben and Jerry's, I'm going to eat the whole thing, you know? So don't load up on like 5 pints when they're having a sale, bring them all home, because you're going to eat 5 pints. I would also tell myself to stay in better physical shape. Like, luckily I've not done any permanent damage, knock on wood. But I've caught everything where I got to the brink and I've lost nearly 60 pounds so far. I still got a ways to go, but everything, there were a couple of concerns in the ultrasounds and everything in my heart, and my veins look good, or arteries look good. So there's no damage, permanent damage, but I've got to force myself to go to the gym. And once you get into a routine though, like going to the gym just becomes second nature. It becomes fun.
Yeah, it does.
So I'd really force that upon myself, is to get yourself in a routine and learn from your mistakes. Don't keep making the same mistakes when it comes to food and fitness. What 5 things would you tell your younger self?
Oh boy. The first one that I would tell myself is definitely the same thing you said about don't keep making the same mistakes. Learn from your mistakes. And, you know, it's one thing I'm pretty happy about now that I'm older. I tend to make different mistakes. I'm not making the same one. They're all new, which is progress. I still make them though. Let's see, the other thing that I would tell myself, and this was more for me when I was much younger, is you don't always know what people are going through at home. So you can't take things personally, and you can't take what other people say to you personally, because more often than not, it is a bigger reflection of them than it is you. People project a lot, and sometimes they will just project on whatever is closest or whoever is closest. So that would be another one. Another thing that I would tell myself is learn your value. Definitely learn your value and don't settle. And don't sell yourself short. And that was one that I had to definitely learn, especially when it came to work and my craftsmanship. At first, you know, I was totally okay working on people for, you know, very small amounts of money. But over time, I'm like, wait a minute, I'm doing a job that I may not be able to do for a full 30 years. I'm going to have to think financial planning here. I need to be making enough that I can squirrel away if I need to, or I need to make enough that I can cover myself when I have times that are not as busy. Mm-hmm. Not just that, continuing education costs money. So pay me what I'm worth. The other thing that I would probably tell myself is it's okay to be weird. It is definitely okay to be weird. And you're not going to be everybody's cup of tea. And that's not your problem. but how you react to it, that is your problem. Mm-hmm. And the final thing that I would tell myself is don't chase people. If you have to chase people, if you have to chase their affection, if you have to chase their attention, then they don't value you. And you should be with people that seek you out, not ones that you are constantly having to chase and constantly having to put the effort for with. Now, if it's a back and forth thing and you guys, you both are, that's one thing. But if it's very one-sided, then it's a problem. So those are the things that I would go back and tell myself. I would have saved myself a lot of trouble, and I probably would have not spent $15,000 in Sephora buying makeup, trying to make myself feel better.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And it wasn't all at once. It was cumulative, but you know, over time.
Over time. All right. So we've talked about life advice we'd give our younger selves. What would you say some of the practical things you actually do now, like your life hacks?
Oh my gosh. Oh, I got a big one.
All right.
I've got a big one. Okay. So if I want to be productive, I have to be wearing shoes in the house, not just socks, not just slippers. I need to actually have shoes on. So I have a pair of sneakers that I wear just for inside the house because I'm weird about wearing shoes inside the house. I don't like stuff that's getting tracked in from the outside inside my house. Typically, I like to be barefoot or in socks, but I have a special pair of shoes just for inside the house. And when I want to get stuff done, those are the ones I wear.
Okay. Something I've learned. Now, I drink a lot of bottled water and a lot of Monster Energy. So I find out the price, which is the best bang for your buck, you know? So I'm a nerd. I will see per ounce, what is the best deal? And, or per bottle, what is the best deal? For instance, Walmart.
That's just smart shopping.
It is, but it's smart. So I love Body Armor water. And recently Walmart had it for $1.48 during the summer, but now that it's a fall, it's gone up to $1.98. So it went up 50 cents. So Amazon was more expensive during the summer, but now it's $1.64 per bottle on Amazon. So I bulk order my water from Amazon. Also my Monster Energy, I compare between Sam's, Walmart, and Amazon, and right now Sam's Club was way cheaper to get it, and I part of Sam's on Sam's Plus, so I can get it shipped to my house at no cost, so I don't have to go to Homewood, which is the nearest Sam's Club. So that helps. Life hack with there. Second life hack: if you do your stuff for your meal prep for the next day, you'll have lunch for the next day. You know, so I always. My wife is really good at making extra, and I've done better at portion control. So I'll have stuff left over for lunch the next day to eat. So I won't always have to, go out to eat, and that will save you so much money in the long run of not having to eat out as much. Cause I can get real bad. I will, like, Chick-fil-A is right across from my work, and I will do my grilled chicken nuggets and so salad every day, every day. But that's a $12 that I'm spending on that. But I can keep it cheaper by just making, like, right tomorrow I've got barbecue chicken thighs, brown rice, and some carrots. So it'll be much cheaper that way. What's another life hack for you?
Okay. So this one definitely gets into neurospicy, overstimulated. There are some days that you just want to say, forget it. I'm not cooking. But your budget doesn't like that. So I always try to have freezer meals. Mm-hmm. And my biggest one is if I see roast on sale, I will get more roasts than I need and I will cook them all at once and then I'll portion them out and I'll put them in the freezer.
That's smart.
Yeah. And that way, you know, like we had, let's see, this past week we had pork roast. It was a pork shoulder, 99 cents a pound. I got three of them and I made two of them. And I've got now meals, like six different freezer meals.
Nice.
So that's six nights I'm not going to have to cook. And especially things like if you do taco roast beef or you do like a smoked pork or something of that nature, you know, it's versatile. So you can do enchiladas with it. You could do sandwiches with it. You could do tacos. You can put it over rice and beans. So you're not, you know, limited of just one thing.
Mm-hmm. That's some smart.
That's one of my life hacks.
Another one of my life hacks, set price alerts. Like you can use Honey. There are other apps like that, but it'll monitor and it'll let you know if this is the best price over the past few days or if there's something better at a different location. So it's very smart to do that. It'll be very cost effective, especially for those big budget items like TVs, Blu-ray players, I guess now 4K players, but stuff like that. It's very smart to set those and compare, and it'll save you money in the long run.
I would say another life hack that I'm doing, and this has really changed a lot of things. I will, when I grocery shop, I quit shopping at one store just because when I would just shop at, out here in Arizona, we have a Kroger, and it's called Fry's. When I just shop there, it wasn't always the best deal. So now I'm shopping Sam's Club. I'm shopping Safeway, which is part of Albertsons. I'm shopping Fry's. I'm shopping Walmart. You know, I have to break it up, but it's definitely a hack when it comes to saving the money, when it comes to the food bills and the things like that, and shopping what's on sale. It's also good for the meal prep stuff because I know Safeway out here sometimes does the chicken breast for $1.99 a pound. So you can get a whole bunch of boneless, skinless chicken breasts. And then what I'll do is marinate them before I put them in the freezer. So then all I have to do is defrost them the night before, and then I'm able to cook them. And they've already got the marinade.
That's smart. Look at you.
So it's it was this Italian lady from Brooklyn. She was my favorite coworker. She's the one who taught me how to do that. And I was like, oh, I'm listening to you from now on.
Italian lady from Brooklyn. Never would have guessed it.
Yeah, Miss Adele.
All right. Do you have any of your favorite life hacks? You can hit us up on social media. I'm at DavidSears75 on X and at DavidSears1982 on Instagram. What social medias can they hit you up with their life hacks on?
Well, I am using at Liz_DeMoisey, DeMoisey, _books on Instagram. And that is my current main social media.
All right.
And what have you done that has changed your life? What is helping you navigate the world? And that's actually one of my little life hacks. I have to romance the ever-loving crap and jazz up the mundane stuff in order to keep myself engaged enough to get bored. So for me, I don't call them errands. I call them side quests. I'm not making bone broth or meat stock. It's witch's brew. It's magic. It makes stuff taste better. Does it really? I don't care. But I'm sitting there stirring it, and I'm just reciting like the witches from Macbeth the whole time I do it. So that's my little life hack right there. Okay. I have to take things that are boring and bogus and just put some sort of spin on it to keep my brain activated.
Okay, that's cool. There you go. Making a side quest for you. Speaking of navigating the world, now we're going to talk about some people. You know your friends when you can talk about other people. So you know that it's something that friends do. They gossip and talk about other people.
Yep, we all do it.
It's part of our DNA. It's how we judge people in a good way. What barometers do you use for a person? And like, why do you use them? Like, do you have a smell test that someone must pass before, or a series of questions they must pass before you'll let them in your life?
Oh, here's one. What movie does someone think of when they think of Tim Curry?
Me, it's Rocky Horror Picture Show and Fern Gully.
It's always either Clue or Muppet Treasure Island for me.
Ooh, Muppet Treasure. He is so good in there.
I know, he's flawless.
Well, have you seen the meme going around that why Muppet Treasure Island and Muppet Christmas Carol work is Michael Caine treats it as though the Muppets are his fellow Shakespearean actors, and Tim Curry treats it as he's a fellow Muppet.
Yes, that's exactly it.
So that's a good one.
What do you have?
I would say, how do animals react around you? You know,
usually they like me.
If an animal likes you, that means you're generally a good person, because animals have an extrasensory perception. If an animal doesn't like you, that's a caution to me.
Yeah.
So now there are some exceptions, like Lila's dog Spike, when we were dating, didn't like me because he knew that Lila was giving me more attention than him.
Oh, that's a him problem, though.
He'd let me pet him, but if Lila and I were on this couch cuddling, he would worm his way in between us. So he'd try to separate us. But if I wasn't with Lila, he'd be friends with me. But the second Lila and I were together and we started showing affection towards each other, freaked him out, he would get upset. I think another one is how do you react when your team loses? You know, are you one of those dudes that that shatters their TV, that trashes the living room? I turn off the game and just walk away. You know, I don't like losing, but I don't
want. That's all you can do.
I don't want to watch them storm the field against us. I'll turn it off and walk away.
True to form, I'll grab a chicken wing and just gnaw on it aggressively.
I would say another one is who are your top five artists? And if you don't include the Beatles or Elvis, I judge you.
Oh, Beatles and Elvis are nowhere near on my top five.
I judge you.
You're allowed. My top five are Depeche Mode. I would also have to go with Peter Gabriel.
That's a good one.
And
solo stuff or with Genesis?
Yeah, I know. But Genesis was better without him. I gotta say it. Let's see. I would have to say another one of my favorites is Pat Benatar.
Okay.
I'm a solid 80s girl when it comes down to it. Roxette. And then my final one is ABBA.
Wow. Okay, my top five: Beatles, Weird Al, Foo Fighters, Fall Out Boy, and Tom Petty.
Not bad.
So, love me some Weird Al. I love Weird Al. He is without a doubt one of the musical geniuses that deserves to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Every year when you can just nominate people, I always, when the nomination process is open, I always vote for Weird Al. Always check other Weird Al, because he deserves to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. His career has lasted longer than some of the artists he parodied.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Rico Suave, and, you know, Taco Grande, you know?
Oh, totally.
He's done that longer. Chameleonaire's White, Riding Dirty. White and Dirty to me is a bigger hit than Riding Dirty.
That's actually one of my barometers. It's what's the song that someone thinks of when you mention the name Weird Al?
Ooh, there's so many good ones, though. White and Nerdy.
I got two main.
I like White and Nerdy. I like Albuquerque. That is one of my absolute favorite ones. I've seen him do his ill-advised vanity tour twice, and he did Jackson Park Express instead of Albuquerque both times. I was so disappointed. But Dare to Be Stupid, I think, is probably his greatest song. I absolutely love Dare to Be Stupid.
I have to say it comes down to two for me. Amish Paradise, and then White and Nerdy, but that is mostly because of the music video, because it includes Donny Osmond.
Yes, the Donny Osmond cut of that video, when it's just him dancing.
That makes it.
That is just one of the most brilliant things. And that's a young Key and Peele before they, I think it was right there as they were part of Mad TV. They were the two thugs, the two gangsters in it.
Let's see, another one that I'll use to judge people on. How are you treating waitstaff, shop staff, and hotel staff?
Oh, yes. You have to treat them well.
Absolutely.
I've worked at the Disney store for a Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I
Bath
worked
and Body Works.
And Oof. I worked waiting tables in college and restaurant manager before I got into radio full time. Now I deal with I'm basically the office manager at the physical therapy place. So I was complimented today on my phone voice by one of our clients' moms. One of our patients' moms said, "You have the best phone voice. You're so professional." It's like, thank you very much. So,
yeah, that's one of my big ones. I don't think I could ever do something like secret shopping, mm-hmm. because I've been the human on the other side, having a completely god awful day, having to smile and pretend to be nice to everyone for, you know, barely any money at all, and I'd feel like I'm a narc or something. I've never been a bartender or a server, but I've worked retail and hospitality before. And I've even been on hurricane rideout crew at one of the 5-star properties I worked in the spa at. And I'll never forget this guest. He was from somewhere. I want to say he was like either from Bahrain or someplace like that. But he was screaming at the spa attendant because he couldn't go outside during the Category 4 hurricane. And we had like the doors and everything completely sealed, so the wind and the water couldn't get in.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've attracted my share of grumpy clients, but I was very tickled pink that that wasn't one of my people.
I mean,
oof.
Oof.
Yeah, no.
Customers are not always right. Customers are not always right. The actual quote is, "Customers are always right when it comes to matters of taste." That is the actual quote. Not, it doesn't just stop at the customer's always right.
I like the Disney thing where you smile and you say, "Have a magical day,"
which is really the Disney F you.
Yeah. Have a magical day.
All right. So, like we said, if you're listening, take a second, get a drink of water, drop us a comment. We're going to post this on our Facebook and Twitter. How do you size people up? Give us a good way. We'll read some of your responses on our next episode.
When we say Tim Curry, Nick Cage, or, you know, what song pops into your head when we say Weird Al?
All right.
Nick Cage is another good one.
Oh, Mandy.
Con Air.
Mandy. Willy's Wonderland. Have you seen that one? He doesn't speak the entire movie. Willy's Wonderland's on Hulu. It's Five Nights at Freddy's, but with Nick Cage. And he doesn't say a single word the entire movie.
Aw.
It is crazy. It is amazing. It is so crazy. And fun and gory, and absolutely love it. It's peak Nick Cage. So, all right. I know we got to wrap things up. So, closing question: if our younger selves could see us now, projects, cats, spouses, quirks, and all, what would they think? I think my would be happy that I married a woman with big boobs. So my younger self would be happy with that. He'd be happy that he found a woman that absolutely loves and adores him. And he'd be confused by all the cats because I was allergic to cats younger. So he's like,
"You always wanted a beagle."
I did. I wanted a beagle because of Shiloh.
Yeah, you wanted a beagle like Snoopy. Yeah,
Shiloh and Snoopy. But I love my cats. I think he would be nuts. He'd also be happy that I'm still a big nerd. I'm looking at you with all my Funko Pops of Ninja Turtles right now and my Grogu, my giant Grogu bobblehead Funko Pop and my Grogu in his hover chair Funko Pop. So I think he'd be glad I'm still a nerd who reads comics and enjoys the, I think he would also love the fact that comic book movies are in and you get at least one new one every year.
Yes. That's a big thing.
And I go see
them. And they're actually well done now, too, because it's like, for the longest time, you know, the Batman movies were awesome. Mm-hmm. And then Blade came around. And let's be real, Blade was the first game changer.
Yeah, it was an R-rated superhero movie. Wesley Snipes was so good.
Yeah.
It was, it 98 when it came out? I want to say it was 98.
97 or 98. 97 or 98.
I want to say it was 98 because the Matrix stole a lot of his aesthetics. The Matrix stole a lot of Blade's aesthetics for the Matrix movie. So I want to say it was 98. But I think he'd be happy that comics are still popular and everything's. He'd be also happy that you have a big screen TV that has Ninja Turtles, arcade games and the X-Men arcade game that you can still play on your big screen anytime you want. And you can have infinite quarters.
That's the thing. My younger self would be disappointed because I do not have the 6-player X-Men arcade game at the house. I always wanted.
I have it on a PlayStation 3. I don't have it on a cabinet. An arcade cabinet, but I do have one of the PlayStation 3.
I wanted the cabinet. I wanted that so bad. And I think younger me would be wondering if I had a Star Trek or a Lord of the Rings wedding, because I saw Star Trek weddings and people were joking about them, but I'm like looking at it and I'm like, that looks cool. What's the big joke about this? You're getting married by a Starfleet officer? I mean, you found someone who's into that stuff too. That's
so
awesome.
Cool. Yeah. That's awesome. Sharing.
Yeah. I would be mad because I've done neither.
Well, there's always the renewing of your vows. You could always renew your vows at a Star Trek wedding or Star Wars wedding.
Hmm.
Renewing
Maybe.
Your vows.
We'll see.
You never know. You never know.
I like the Lord of the Rings. I saw a Hobbit. There was a Hobbit wedding. I thought it was adorable.
I married the rock and roll Rosie Cotton. That's what Lila had before she deleted Twitter. That was part of her Twitter bio, the rock and roll Rosie Cotton.
Yeah, I would totally do like a Hobbit wedding. But, oh well.
Can you believe those movies are over 20 years old now? Next year will be the 25th anniversary of Fellowship.
I know. And I remember when those movies opened because I worked at AMC during those times. And I knew which theaters had the trailers for the different Lord of the Rings movies. And I would always go sneak in to just watch the trailer. And I would sit there and I would just say, please let this be as amazing as, you know, I hope it will be. And I was so excited when I finally got to watch it. And I was like, oh my gosh, well, we don't have Tom Bombadil, but gosh, other than that, this is great.
It was really impressive. I went in blind. My mom was my mom to this day, every summer, rereads the trilogy and The Hobbit. She does it every summer with her original from 1960s books she bought when she was in high school. She still reads those. So she bought me a set after Fellowship came out. She bought me a set to read so I could know what was going to happen. And I read them all, enjoyed them. I like The Hobbit best. I know it's more of a child's story, but I like The Hobbit because I just like Bilbo better than Frodo. I related more to Bilbo.
You know, I love them both, but there is one place that I like Lord of the Rings better than The Hobbit. And that's why I actually do like the movie better than the book, even though people will argue about it and call it sacrilege. But I like that they added Tauriel, even though she was an original character, because there weren't a lot of female characters in The Hobbit. And, you know, as a girl being in fantasy and that sort of stuff, it was hard growing up. That was one of the places where The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe definitely had an edge over The Hobbit and over Lord of the Rings, because there was a stronger female presence.
I had no issue with The Hobbit having all dudes, essentially.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fun. Now, that's fun reading the history of C.S. Lewis and Tolkien battling it out with their fantasy epics. So, all right. Well, we got to get out of here. Liz, how can they find you on social media?
I am at Liz underscore DeMoisey, DeMoisey underscore books on Instagram.
I am at DavidSears75 on Twitter, at DavidSears1982 on Instagram. I'm on TikTok, but I never use it. I just get videos from Liz and my wife that send them to me that I watch. I don't even
I forget what I am under.
I don't know what you are either.
I forget.
You send me some fun random stuff. But this has been the Gifted and Talented Education Rejects. All right. What is the Cash App need for this week?
I would just say tune in next week, because you know what? We need our ego stroked. That's what we need. We definitely need our ego stroked. We need viewers.
So yeah. you want people to send us money so we can advertise?
We could. Okay. No, I don't know.
All right. I'm at DavidSears75 on Cash App. Hit me up there if you want to help us grow the podcast. We can advertise with your money. What's your Cash App, Liz?
I forget. Oh my gosh. Yeah, we'll just go with yours this time.
All right. At DavidSears75 on Cash App. Hit me up there. We'll spend money on advertising. You can be a sponsor of the Gifted and Talented Education Rejects. Liz, it's been a pleasure. Can't wait to talk to you on Sunday. Can't wait to figure out what we're going to talk about next week.
We'll give it some thought.
We will.
And we'll try to plan something.
We will. We always plan something. It doesn't always go as planned, but we plan something. All right. For Liz DeMoisey, I'm David Sears. This has been the Gifted and Talented Education Rejects on Tony Curry Radio.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.